This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
Mark Reardon.
It's Donald Trump's party, and his GOP opponents can cry if they want to.
Woke has to stop, because along with everything else, it's destroying our country.
Mark Reardon.
We'll fight hard, fight hard.
Sitting in his golden palace, Mar-a-Lago, muscling other countries like he's Tony Soprano with a social media site.
Woke is bullshit.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to a Friday, which means a Reardon Roundtable. We will introduce the panel here shortly. First and foremost, hello to Sue Thomas.
Hello, good afternoon. Gorgeous day.
It is a beautiful day. And I will tell you that my brain is functioning marginally better than yesterday with the jet lag. But I'm not going to lie. The next time, I already told people, the next time I come back from an international trip, I'm taking a couple of days off because...
Buffer days.
Yeah, it hit me a little harder than I expected. But I got you'd be proud of me today, Sue. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my my steps and how many steps I took. According to my phone in Greece, compared to what I did like 2 days ago on the airplane. But I took a walk with my dog two times around Fenton Park today.
Good.
In the beautiful weather.
Did you eat?
I did eat.
Okay.
See, she knows me. She knows me. She's trying to keep me on track.
Yep.
I appreciate that. We'll have a Friday edition of Sue's News, of course, in just about an hour, in the 4 o'clock hour. Hello, Jane Duker. How are you?
I'm doing great. I was watching all of your Grecian escapades, and I was very, very jealous. So hopefully I'm going to be going in the fall, so you're going to have to give me all the scoop.
Oh, you're going to love it, and I'm so glad, because originally you were going to go in the summer.
Yes.
And I was going to tell you, one of the first things I was going to say, do not go in the summer because it'll be too hot, but the fall is going to be much better. We had temps in the 60s, and you get into the upper 60s, it was warm, and the sun was intense, so I think you're making the right call.
Excellent.
We have former State Senator Jeff Smith with us this afternoon as well. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Good to see you. And former State Senator John Lamping is also with us. Let me make sure I got all the mic rights on.
Mike Wrights.
Good to right,
be with you,
Mike. See what I did there?
Yeah.
I just said Mike Wrights.
Yeah, it's all right.
The hell is my problem?
Every mic
I'll
has
tell
a
you
right,
right now. That's going to happen. And you know, this is another thing I just want to share briefly with the audience, because you guys know this. Sue and Ethan know this. I literally thought I was going crazy yesterday, because this gets a little complicated with the control board. I'm the only host here that runs their own board, because I don't trust, it's not that I don't trust Ethan, it's just I don't trust anyone else. And it was
He's happy about it.
Right. It was doing things that it shouldn't do yesterday. But I think they thought it was just my sleep deprivation and the jet lag, and then
finally we did.
Yes, no, I know. I thought it was going crazy. I was ready to.
It was though, right? No.
It was messing up. There was technical issues for sure, for sure.
Do you agree, Ethan?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, we finally recorded it, Jane.
Oh,
and
okay.
It did happen.
Because they were gaslighting you.
Yeah, the board was. Let me tell you. Well, let's start. And John, I want to start with you, Mr. Lamping, on the new Pope, because obviously that was a big story yesterday. Robert Prevost of Chicago, who spent some time here in St. Louis,
right,
was known as Father Bob. One of the things that we were very concerned about yesterday, as I started the show, it appeared as if we were going to find out the new Pope was a Cubs fan. I mean, that was jarring to a lot of us. But then it came out, thank God he's not. He's smarter than that. He's a White Sox fan. But your thoughts about the new Pope, it happened very quickly.
It was
well,
real.
Sure, yeah. So it's a very exciting week for, you know, the 1.4 billion Catholics worldwide. You know, this was the process by which we name our new leader. You know, we are of the mind that, you know, God's working through the Holy Spirit, and to name this leader and to take the church and the direction that only he sees fit as necessary going forward. So it was a very exciting week. What's interesting is, beside the fact that he's a White Sox fan, he's an American, is that, you know, I think to put this in context, we've got to look at the previous Pope, Pope Francis, and Francis was it was a missed opportunity, really, as a Pope, in that, you know, we look for guidance and direction, and he was he really swung and missed in his time in the papacy. He was definitely a liberal, far left, was a very big social justice person. You know, and it was at a time when the church, Catholic Church, has two very strong wings. It has the liberal progressive wing, which is a lot older. It's kind of Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden age. And you've got all the energy amongst the conservative wing, kind of under 40 crowd, who are much more conservative, much more traditional. And we've seen, you know, growth and excitement there. So Pope Leo he's got to come in now, and he's got to figure out a way to bridge these two groups. The older group is dying off and fading and losing people in the pews, and the younger ones very excited, and they're forming families and joining parishes and thriving. So that's going to be his challenge. The press will love to pin Leo as a liberal because they're liberal and they're not necessarily Catholic. And right off the bat, you know, he's very Leo ascended very quickly at the end. He, 4 years ago, he wasn't even a bishop.
I know, that's amazing,
cardinal.
Right?
So he's definitely Francis's choice. But you'll see the press frame him as a liberal. You saw, like, he picked his name Leo. So Leo the 13th.
Great name.
Great. That's Jane has a son named Leo, right. So we should point that out.
Leo the 13th, you know, he's, you know, very, very strong, wonderful Pope. And the press has already said, well, he wrote about workers' rights. And
he did.
In the 1890s. But what they don't mention is the fact that he wrote long and hard against communism, not only that, is he's famous for having written the prayer of Saint Michael that we all pray in church every week, every mass we say prayer to Saint Michael the Archangel, wherein he recognizes and talks about the fact that there's evil in the world prowling among us, and that we need to fight that. And so that's a very conservatives. Appreciate that. So we want him to be a bridge between these two factions, and you know, we're hopeful that he does well.
One of the questions that came up, and let me just play this audio here quickly, because I heard it was I'm not Catholic. There's a part of me that really sometimes doesn't even understand the focus of the Pope, just because I'm not Catholic. I'm not trying to disrespect anything there, but you know, I love to hear. I love Cardinal Dolan. I mean, who doesn't, right? Mm-hmm. Plus, he's a Cardinals fan. But he and some of the other American Cardinals were in a news event this morning. It was really fascinating to listen to. And one of the questions was, like, does this have anything? Is there a message that's sent about Donald Trump? And here's the answer.
I don't think the fact that Cardinal Prevost was from the United States had much weight. It should not startle us that we would look to Pope Leo as a bridge builder. That's what the Latin word pontiff means. He's a bridge builder. Will he want to build bridges to Donald Trump? I suppose, but he would want to build bridges with the leader of every nation. So I don't think at all my brother cardinals would have thought of him as a counterweight to any one person.
There were others, by the way, who agreed with that sentiment as well. So Jane, your reaction, I can't remember, you're Catholic or
I am.
Not? Okay.
Very.
Couldn't remember that.
Yeah, no, I was shocked that it was an American, to be honest.
I think a lot of people were.
And not just because of our politics, but because we are getting growth. I agree with John, there is growth in the younger population. But the biggest source of Catholics is going to be Central America, South America. So when I found out that, you know, he's a dual citizen with Peru, and he has huge, you know, contacts and you know, presence in the areas where Catholicism is growing, all ages. I think that was very smart. I mean, this is the guy that picked all the bishops. I mean, the fact that it, I can't remember in my lifetime it ever taking, being that quick.
Oh, no, this wasn't this that was, quick. No, it normally, it's three or four.
Like, yeah, Fred, you know, Fred so was going over that yesterday.
Three or four.
It wasn't
smokes. Right. So it was a third. It was not that quick.
So it was, but it was consensus, and that felt good, I think. Keeping, I think that there is a huge opportunity to unite Catholics, and I think there is something in his body of work that both sides can like. The fact that he picked Leo, not just because it's my son, but I picked my son's name for the reason, some of the reasons you mentioned. I mean, he believed in, you know, he believes in dignity and in the workers' rights and having a fair wage. And I agree that he also believed that there was evil in the world. And I think that is something that Pope Francis did not identify with as much. He wanted to sort of be friends with everybody, but it will be nice to hear from, you know, the moral leader saying this is right, this is wrong. I think trying to appease everyone is not something Catholics, I think, are searching for right now. And I think people sincerely want guidance from the Pope. So I think in the fact that he's American, I think will help, you know, Catholics in America unite. And so, yeah, I was really happy.
My fellow non-Catholic on the panel, Jeff Smith.
Yeah, look, you know, I was really disappointed in the selection. Sometimes there's a rare opportunity for the meeting of, like, the man and the moment. And I just thought it was Ed Martin's time.
You've been waiting on that all week.
He's been thinking about it, hasn't he?
All week. You've been doing
that.
Well,
but now he belongs in the Department of Justice now.
I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up being the U.S. attorney here for St. Louis.
We can talk about Ed in a moment. That was a good line. But do you want to address the actual Pope from the announcement yesterday?
You know, I think both that our fellow panelists who are Catholics, you know, both said it well, which is that he has a tremendous opportunity to be a bridge builder. And I think we're sorely in need of that in American public life. And I think if you see some of the, you know, similarly worrisome trends around the world with just the increasing, you know, polarization of electorates and rise of factions
and,
you know,
religions
on the extreme wings, I just think we're really in need of someone who has that potential. So I'm optimistic about the pick, and of the bits that I've read, feel the same way as John and James.
He plays Wordle.
He's tweeted before too.
I mean, with his brother and his. I listened to the interview with his brother, and I'm like, these are kind of normal people, and I do think he is someone that people can identify with, and he isn't. I mean, you know,
I think that's good, because sometimes I think we do this to a lot of people where we think, I'd use Supreme Court justices as an example, that they're on maybe this different playing field, but they are real people. They have families, they have likes and dislikes, they have hobbies. Well, maybe not as many hobbies as some of us because they have fewer, you know, they have more responsibilities and less time. But John, let me ask you this question, just because, you know what, I missed some of this being overseas, but I did see the Twitter or the tweet, the X that went out from the White House with, you know, President Trump. Last week, he had kind of joked. Somebody asked him, and this was before I left, somebody asked him who should be Pope. And he said, well, I think I should be Pope. And it was clearly a joke, right? There were some outlets out there that tried to misrepresent that. But then they did kind of go out there, and they blasted an image of Trump on the White House website. That didn't sit well with me. Did that sit well with you as a Catholic?
No, not particularly. There was an AI image, and it was two or three or four of them. And, you know, it's fine. You can joke if you want to joke. I mean, this is a very, very serious thing that was occurring, and I would have been, you know, just fine with him having not done that. But I'm not so thick-skinned that I can't let it slide. I would say this though, that Catholics are very used to being kind of persecuted. In the history, we've always been the easy ones to pick on. We're a Protestant nation, and most of the Catholicism got here via immigration, legal immigration, and we were set aside and looked down upon, and not, there's a lot of places we weren't allowed. The Blaine Amendment here in Missouri is a direct pushback against Catholic religion. So Catholics can take it. We're fine. You know, we focused on the positive this week, and you saw the joy that occurred when the word finally came. And I do agree. He's a very humanized person, especially for Americans.
Young.
He's 69. He's going to be, if he's the average pope, makes it to about age 84. So this will be the pope for the rest of most of our lifetime, my lifetime.
Thanks, John. You just killed us all. That's awesome. Feel real good about that.
But anyway, I'm thrilled by the fact that that he will, I think he'll touch Americans in ways that previous popes have had a harder time doing.
I found this interesting, just as a side note before we take a break here, because I learned a lot. I tend, you know, you go on trips and you learn a lot. The difference between the Greek Orthodox Church and the mm-hmm. Catholic Church is very minimum. It's really, yes. they don't recognize the Pope. It's that's the only difference between those two. So I found that fascinating. Let's take an early break here, though, so we don't get too far behind. Lots of politics in this country to talk about. It's a Reardon Roundtable on a Friday afternoon. Hang in there.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
I'm Emma Grede, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grede, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, man, even after that first segment, I'm feeling a little bit more lucid than I was yesterday, so that's good. I feel like I can get through the show here after some jet lag. Jane Duker is on the panel, former state senators Jeff Smith and John Lamping. Okay, you made your Ed Martin joke, but let's kind of follow up on that. For people who might have been lost by that particular swipe, Jeff Smith, Ed Martin is a St. Louis attorney, and he was nominated as the U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia. Jane, what I was going to say is, before this was withdrawn, because the nomination was withdrawn, they have a different position in DOJ. My line was going to be, I know Ed Martin. Ed Martin is a friend of mine. Ed Martin is crazy, too. So I'm not too disappointed that they pulled this one away, just being honest here. God bless him.
The problem, though, is he's going to land somewhere. I agree with John Lamping that he's going to land somewhere where he could probably do worse.
But John, can't we do better than this a little bit? I know that there's political favors, and now he's nominated Judge Jeanine Pirro, poaching someone else from the Fox lineup. I think there's been like 17 people from Fox who have gone to the administration. But is Ed? There were conflicts related to January 6th that they cited, right?
Yeah. Well, I think that there's a pretty significant percentage of the people that were in office for January 6th that just want January 6th to go away. I mean, attempts were made to try to prosecute people, and what they did to the people that actually sat in jail for 2 or 3 years waiting for their day in court. There's a lot of people, both Republicans and Democrats, who don't want to bring that up again. And Ed made it very clear that's what Ed was going to go do. Now, I think Pirro is going to try to go do the same thing. And I mean, Pirro's qualified. She was a prosecuting attorney. She was a judge. One thing that Trump's done a really good job of, you're picking all these television hosts. All these television hosts are qualified to speak on the subject in which they're qualified to speak on, and they're great communicators. So I think communication is such a big part of politics today. So yeah, no, Ed is going to go to the Department of Justice, and guess what they're doing? They're going to assign him to the January 6th issue, and they're going to go after people. And I think there's a lot of people that, there's a percentage of the public that thinks it was an inside job, and it has never been proven in a court or anything. And there's a lot of people that they played cards around January 6th, and that they just they lost. It didn't become the bigger issue that they thought it was going to be. And but if it was a phony thing, it needs to be prosecuted. And that's what Ed's going to go do.
I'm fine with, there's some things from January 6th that I wasn't crazy about when you really find out some of the sentences and the way that some people were treated. I think some people certainly did deserve to be punished for that as well. But what's interesting is, and, you know, you guys can jump in here, but I do know just from X, there are people on the harder right of the MAGA side that are kind of pissed that he withdrew Ed Martin's nomination. And, you know, they were questioning Trump on that.
I mean, look, nobody's going to agree on anything. I mean, I just think the people in Missouri, we all had a lot of Ed Martin.
Well, Jeff jumps in, Ed Martin was with, was he chief of staff?
He was chief of staff for Matt Blunt.
Right, yeah. That's right.
With the email scandal and like all that. And then it was all the weirdness with, who's the Eagles lady with Phyllis Schlafly. Yeah. That was all weird. I mean,
Where he was kind of in the middle of a huge family divide. There was a lot of money at stake.
I do remember that.
There was a very valuable email list at stake.
Yes.
And some of the children were very much against Ed and felt like that he had
Undue influence, frankly.
That undue influence with Phyllis Schlafly in her final days.
Yeah.
And then he started kind of a parallel organization called Phyllis Schlafly's Eagles that was like a rival to the Eagle Forum. And so there's a big like lawsuits and all kinds
of things. The Republicans care about are that Ed Martin was a phenomenal candidate against Russ Carnahan, almost beat Russ Carnahan when he had no business coming close. He also, oh, he and Bill
Russ Carnahan's not exactly the, he's not like the world on fire, but yeah.
The district was not meant for him to be competitive
right,
in.
Right.
And then Ed and Bill Hennessy started the Tea Party nationwide right here on the steps of the Arch, and he was the leader there.
I like
and
Bill.
He, and he, yeah, and he led the Republican Party, you know, and he was a candidate for other offices. And so, yeah, I mean, I love Ed Martin. And
Ed used to be on the roundtable.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
was on the roundtable many years ago.
Really,
probably with you, Jeff.
He's a
back in the earlier era, if I had to remember.
Deep political thinker, and then when we lost him to the East Coast, primarily, I think, because his wife's a practicing doctor, and that's where she moved to work, and I thought it was Missouri's Republican Party's loss. I still feel it to this day. I think in a lot of ways we see that in Jeff City now, that we need guys like Ed Martin mentality down there, even though the Democrats obviously don't agree with me. But I think it would be interesting to watch what Ed has to do now. He's in the Department of Justice. He's be unencumbered, and he won't be in the spotlight. And meanwhile, you know, Imperial will do what she's going
to
do.
Let's come back to some national politics. I do want to talk about Trump and the situation with immigration and polling and all that. We'll get to that in a second. But let's talk about our friend Tashara, who has something to say this week that is just, Jane, I guess we shouldn't be surprised. So the story comes out. I haven't heard the interview. It was on St. Louis Public Radio. And she says that white South Side voters abandoned her for Kara Spencer, a white woman, because of race. She said that black North Side voters had unrealistic expectations of her.
Was at fault.
Everyone
Sorry,
except
Tashara.
For her.
I mean,
and she also said, though, the city is due for a reckoning after ousting a slew of black female politicians in recent months. And she says that her dad, Virus, told me, and it's an old phrase, black women have to work twice as hard to get half as much. Well, I feel like we work five times as hard to get nothing in return. Here's what I think I can
you
get some agreement
on. You
are
not a victim, Tashara.
Is there a worse mayor in the city of St. Louis than Tashara Jones?
Not in my
Was
lifetime.
There? I don't think so.
Not, in my
not even close.
I mean, she made Clarence Harmon look like a rock star.
There you go.
I mean, it is such a bad look. There is just no words for this. Oh, the black people are at fault. The white people are at fault. You know, honey, look in the mirror. The issue was you. It was always you. You couldn't do the basics. I mean, people, you know, saw you for what you are. And what's really interesting about this was she was never held accountable. She's been in politics for more than a decade. And, you know, was never held accountable when she was treasurer. She got promoted and, you know, and the idea that she is listening to her toxic father, I mean, that is sad. And, you know, I'm like, I think she needs a welfare check because her lack of ability to read the room is
Jeff, there is a real big lack of self-awareness here with Tashara Jones. And I guess if you're a politician, you have to spit out crap like that. But
no,
good
you don't.
Lord.
Never like this.
Yeah, I think this week she was competing with former President Biden for the Magnanimous Loser of the Year Award. I don't know if you saw Biden's interview.
We're going to get to that. Yeah.
where he said, I wasn't surprised at all that Kamala lost, but I think I would have won.
Yes, yes.
Brutal.
But she, I thought that Tashara's interview was not her best moment.
She did a whole press tour.
Yeah.
Like, this was on purpose.
Yeah, saying at one point she said voters couldn't give a reason when they were talking to her team in South St. Louis. They couldn't give a reason why, but, as somebody who lives on the Hill and talking to a lot of my neighbors, they had lots of reasons why. And, she at one point said, voters elected me to deal with public safety, and we solved that. And then they said, what about snow removal? What about potholes? What about this? And they just moved the goalposts. But, I have always been under the impression that you run for mayor of a city,
like,
you're not just running to deal with one issue. Right. You got to be able to walk and chew gum and do a lot of things. And those are very basic, integral city services. So I didn't really.
How about the FBI being in your government? Okay, how about the FBI investigating SLDC? How about the FBI crawling up the building division? There are so many bad things wrong with this government. The way that this federal money was, frankly, pissed away. The budget is a mess. I mean, the budget, they're basically calling a recession budget. The city has fundamental problems, and all she wanted to talk about was, you know, these fluffy things, childcare and things that they have no business being a part of. And
that's where I have a little hope for Kara, that she won't do things like that. Now, I don't have any sense of how she's starting off. You guys might.
I have been in lots of conversations with her and her team over the last couple months. Okay. I think she's starting off with exactly the right tone, which is, we got to fix some of these departments that are broken and make sure the city is running well again. She went up to Jeff City for her first.
She was there yesterday,
her
right?
First tour of Jeff City on Wednesday.
Very smart.
And I talked to 6 or 7 Republican leaders in Jeff City, all of whom came away with the impression of, this is somebody we can work with. And she told me, and her team kind of told me, hey, like, we're really pleasantly surprised by seeing people, Republicans, that want to be a partner in the city's renaissance.
Right.
So I think she's hitting all
Tashara
the right tones.
Never tried. She went up there year 3 of state control, and, you know, I mean, honey, it was way too late. That ship had already sailed. And I mean, Kara did call off the North-South Metro. I was very impressed by that, because that was more than $1 billion boondoggle. And she's like, we're not getting money from the feds. This is dumb. We are not spending
good for her.
Dime.
I did not know that. John, you know, any impressions here on Tashara's exit here?
I think when you lose back-to-back elections by over 20 points, you're just kind of supposed to go on vacation.
Right.
Yeah.
Not pick up.
You mean
the
you're
phone.
Kind of supposed to do what you were doing the whole time you were in office? Go on vacation?
Well, that's what I mean.
Thank you, Sue.
Like, she can get back to what she loves most, traveling.
Yeah.
I mean, but I guess she's going to have to find somebody to pay for it still.
Look, I don't think that's going to be a problem. I suspect she'll have consulting opportunities.
Really?
With other cities.
In St. Louis?
No.
Oh.
Likely. I know she formed a lot of relationships with mayors of other cities, and I suspect that she'll have opportunities around the country. But I think, you know, in the final analysis, you have to say, if it were just about race and the city would never trust a black woman, you know, we elected her and gave her a pretty, you know, strong mandate 4 years ago. And so the argument that suddenly St. Louis voters became a lot more racist in the last 4 years, I think that's a tough one.
But she acts as if, I mean, look, if you look what happened to Kim Gardner, I think that's a completely separate issue than what happened with Cori Bush and her.
But that was about competence.
And it was ridiculous, right? But she says, this is one of the quotes from this article. I don't even think I cited this one yesterday because I zipped through it. Or the interview, rather, with NPR, but I'm reading from the Post-Dispatch. I think St. Louis needs to have a conversation with itself about why it no longer trusts black women to lead. That's unbelievable says that. That is just stunning.
And by the way, she didn't just call the whites racist.
Right.
You know, she was saying that the North Side, oh, they didn't show up. And, you know, she was complaining about every voter. I really hope she doesn't think she has any electoral possibilities ever, because she's blamed every category of voter
Wasn't just 4 years ago we had the famous St. Louis Magazine. They had 3 black female leaders. All
black
had
girl
been
magic.
Yeah, all been elected to office. And
poof,
the,
it's
the
gone.
City all, you know, they elected these people. And maybe they decided that they watched how they did.
And I think there's still black women who are elected leaders,
yes,
like Carla May,
yep,
who are popular and well-regarded by their constituents.
Pam Boyd.
And there are black men like Gabe Gore who are broadly well-regarded. And so, you know, I think there's a lot of evidence in that contradicts that argument that it was just about race.
Well, and when you know, 3 black men got swept up by the FBI out of the Board of Aldermen, she didn't cry racism then either. So, it's this selective outrage. It's getting really old, and she just didn't get the memo.
Jane Duker is here, former State Senator Jeff Smith, former State Senator John Lamping. We'll get to some national politics in the final segment, but let me just ask you, as the legislature, Jeff, I'll start with you on this one. The state legislature kind of winds to a close here relatively quickly, if I'm not mistaken, right? What's left to be done? What have the achievements been so far?
Yeah, so Jane played an integral role in the passage of House Bill 495, which was the, you know, state takeover of the local police. I didn't agree with everything in there, but
crime bill, yeah.
But certainly got some. I think there was a good balanced bill, which is ultimately why a lot of Democrats in the Senate decided to, you know, just sit down and let it go, even though they didn't necessarily agree with all of it. Getting an important component of that bill was ensuring that the governor's appointees to the police board will be subject to Senate confirmation, which gave the St. Louis City Senator some reassurance that they would have a voice. And so far, the preliminary conversations that I've kind of been privy to suggest that the governor is really taking seriously the notion that he's going to be collaborative in those appointments.
That's good.
And so I think that's positive.
Be a partner.
So that was one big thing. A second big bill that passed just this last week was a capital gains tax cut, which had some other, you know, tax cuts in it. And, you know, Republicans usually like to have one tax cut every session, and that was the one this session. The budget is just finishing up right now, deadline in 2 hours to pass the budget, so they're just finishing that up. There's a couple big things that are left outstanding. One of them is, and they're both kind of related, the Republican majority wants to go back and revisit two things that the voters of Missouri passed last year. The first was their increase in the minimum wage and paid sick leave. The second one was the right to reproductive freedom. So I think those are going to be the big two kind of marquee issues next week. I'm optimistic that the Senate can negotiate both those in a way that averts the PQ, which is, you know, the moving the previous question, kind of the nuclear option in the Missouri Senate. I think there's a path forward on both that they can avoid that.
So, Lamping, one of the things, and I'm just going to say, and I don't know as much about these things because I've been gone a little bit, but on what Jeff referred to with the, you know, the passage of the minimum wage and the sick leave, and then also on the abortion issue, I think that voters don't react well. And, you know, this is where the media gets involved, because the Post-Dispatch makes it seem like you're just trying to flip around what the voters did. And I think to a certain amount, there's nuance here, and we know that. But what would you say about those issues? If the voters weigh in an election, all of a sudden, the legislature goes back and says, no, we don't trust the voters. What's that message there? Well, hang on, sir, John.
The minimum wage issue is a proposition. It's Proposition A. So it's a statutory change to law. And they're not reversing it. They're not unwinding it. They're just making changes to it. I don't think the voters will care, because I don't think the voters, you know, they understood like minimum wage increase and vacation pay.
Well, what kind of changes are they making, though?
They're just
they want to exempt out small businesses. Is a big one.
So it's a big cost on smaller businesses. Anyway, so I think that remains to be seen. If they have to stop the Senate to pass it, they will. The big one though is Amendment 3, which was made Missouri extremely pro-abortion. It's abortion from conception to moment of birth. That's where Missouri's law is right now. And so they're going to go back to the ballot November of 26, and they're going to allow for incest, rape, and the life of the mother. You can have an abortion, and they'll outlaw abortion of all other kind. And the people that proposition, I mean, that Amendment 3 that passed only passed by about 6 points, and the pro-abortion side outspent the pro-life side by multiples. And so we'll have that question asked over again. That question is going to be asked over and over again of voters as long as...
So you're saying there's going to be another ballot issue on this?
In November 26.
26, Jane, is that okay?
Yeah.
That's confusing, right?
26, depending on where the governor, when he wants to put it on.
It'll be
right,
November.
He has the choice, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, look, we're still going to have this battle. So, I mean, it's going to go back and forth and back and forth. And, you know, the voters need
so
to
what,
decide.
Because I'm confused about this, and I'm generally confused. So the question that might be posed at that point would be what? To clarify some of the language that's in
the question,
Amendment 3?
You know, it will be something to the effect of, would you support the restriction of abortion in Missouri such that people who are the victims of rape or incest would still be able to have abortions, right? Would you support the... abortions only in the case of the life of the mother.
Because there's no, so, you mean because right now there is not those restrictions
no
in what passed
no
in Amendment 3. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure that that's clear for everyone.
But the way
because,
it was before, there was no exception.
Well, is that unreasonable?
So the language would say, you know, do you think abortion should be prohibited in Missouri except in these cases?
And John, what would you say to that? I mean, what would your answer be?
Well, I'm all pro-life, but I'll vote for that pro-life measure. It's better than what we have right now, which is if on the way to the hospital room, you want to have an abortion, you can have an abortion in Missouri.
No one is doing that, of course.
One other thing about the legislative session we haven't talked about is the biggest thing that happened down there was we passed a utility bill that's going to raise all of our utility costs every year forever.
Hold your thoughts on that. I got to take a break. We're coming back. We have one more segment on the Reardon Roundtable. All right, next hour, of course, we have all the fun stuff. Sue's News for Friday. Paul Hall is going to recommend some streaming and some films. I watched a bunch of stuff on the airplane when I was out, so I want to talk about some of that. We'll have Cusimano on sports as well. Jane Duker on the roundtable panel this afternoon. Former State Senator Jeff Smith, former State Senator John Lamping also here. All right, so John, Jeff Smith keeps fighting with me, saying that Trump is just peeling off every support that he ever had. You'd be surprised in this country to find anyone that supports Trump. And I was watching the international coverage. Well, kind of. It was, though, really. You think that he's losing support on everything.
I think his base is staying with him.
Okay.
But a lot of the independents who supported him over Kamala have drifted away due to some of his policies. And most importantly, his pledge that on day one he would reduce prices. And that's not
prices
really something
have gone
a
down,
president.
Though.
That's not really something a president can do single-handedly, and the tariff uncertainty is probably going to create a much tougher economy, not an easy.
Well, okay, that's what they say, right? And I've argued this, in fairness, because how could some of the polling not be in that direction when you watch the legacy media coverage? But Lamping, your response on that?
My response is he's killing it. The hard part is the first part. The hard part is making these big changes and proposing tariffs and going to negotiation and creating economic uncertainty. The stock market didn't like all that uncertainty. It fell 15% in 3 days. Well, the market's now back above where it was before he created that uncertainty. And we're that much closer. We had our first big deal announced this week with the UK, which is not a big deal. It's not a massive trading partner, but it's a good first step. I think that I told you this before we got on the show. I have these vibe. Remember how like in 2019, the beginning of 2019 before COVID, the economy was just ripping and everyone thought there's no way that Trump's not going to win re-election. Everything's just so good. And I think we're going to get there. You know, like oil's below $60 a barrel. So oil's down 15%. We actually have seen inflation prices dropping year over year. Like all these food items down year over year, they're down at least 10%. And that's before doesn't reflect the drop in oil prices. So you're going to have a situation by the end of the summer when they do this big, massive tax cut with maybe a tax hike for the very rich if the Democrats would support it. You're going to see that pass. You're going to see people that no tax on tips, no pass on Social Security. And your economy will be doing great.
So this is fascinating. Let's explore this one issue, Jeff and Jane. So there seems to be, and there's rumors about this for a while now, but it seems that Trump is going to propose a tax increase for very wealthy people to attach to the big, beautiful bill. I'm okay with that. Seems like some Republicans are okay with that. But if the Democrats don't vote for that, what are they saying? What's the message that they're sending there?
Well, I think, frankly, it would be difficult for them to explain why, because that's something Democrats have fought for. Both on a federal and state level. I mean, 20 years ago when I worked for Governor Holden, it was, you know, people need to pay their fair share. And
well, it's not about fair share. It's confiscating more money. But go ahead.
It is. But, you know, I mean, it's not like people making, you know, that kind of money don't have a lot of loopholes to help them out. So, I mean, I think it will be difficult for Democrats to say we don't support that. So if it doesn't pass because of Democrats, I think that's a problem. But they're going to have to be very clear about, and, you know, I listened to Pete Buttigieg did a very, very interesting speech about what Democrats need to do. We can't just scream and yell about everything and not say what we're for. We have to start talking about what we're for. And if making the richers pay more, I'm for it.
And we have to be as clear as Donald Trump is. I'm going to read his tweet from
this
morning.
Here we go.
So you can see
he doesn't tweet.
The clarity. His
Truth Social.
His Truth Post.
Yes.
The problem with even a, all caps, tiny tax increase for the rich, which I and all others would graciously accept in order to help middle-income workers, is that the radical left lunatic Democrats would go around screaming, "Read my lips," which the fabled quote by George Bush the Elder is said to have cost him the election. No, Ross Perot cost him the election. In any event, Republicans should probably not do it, but I'm okay if they do.
Well,
the buck stops here.
Sounds great.
That's how
you get on the right side of an 80-20 issue. So he's on the right side of the. So,
well, I mean, and he's not running again. So this would be the time for him to do it. If he's going to do a tax increase, this would be the time to do it.
But the dirty little secret is, and this still isn't emphasized by the legacy media, if they don't do anything, everyone's taxes will go up. And you guys essentially campaigned on that in the fall, even though the legacy media kind of hid that from people, because that's just the fact of the expiration of the tax cuts. Look, this Friday went by very quickly. I'm out of time, which is kind of hard to believe because I had other topics. I don't think Sue's going to sacrifice Sue's News in order for us to go 90 minutes this afternoon. Nor would I ever.
Thanks, Sue. I would never
ask you to do that.
I'm
Jeff
here
Smith,
for you.
Great to see you. I'll continue to battle you on the X, formerly Twitter. John, awesome to see you. And Jane, you're going to hang out.
I am.
We're coming back. We got two more hours wrapping a Reardon Roundtable for this Friday. Enjoy the weather. Get out there.
Get more at 971talk.com.